Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
it's an episode filled with mystery. The listeners get to play detective.
And the first mystery is this. How has this show gone on for 1,300 episodes?
No one knows.
All right, Patrick, we're going to do a bit of a fan mail episode today. And it's all themed around the idea of mystery. Mystery. Can you solve the mystery? Before we do that, well, we'll consider this part of the theme here, too. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
What's the mystery of what's in this box? I guess that's the first mystery, right?
Yeah, that's a mystery.
We got a box sent to us all the way from Beaverton, Oregon.
Ooh.
From a Mr. Trip Bacon.
Yes.
And I am opening the box.
A gentleman and a scholar.
And here's the note. Jim and Patrick, greetings from Beaverton, Oregon. Sending along what is turning out to be an annual care package from the Pacific Northwest. In it, you will find some mixed CDs.
Ooh, nice. Awesome
and
mix.
And some mixed tapes.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Even though I neglected to call and let you know my favorite song and album from the past year, both my favorite tune and a track from my favorite album are in the mix. Let the speculation begin. Another mystery.
There you go.
He says you'll also find some books, add them to the book nook, or pass them along to someone who may enjoy the topics.
Okay.
I'm also including some beverages for your enjoyment.
Oh, now we're talking.
He says, thanks for the daily shows. Thank you for the community. Thank you for Suburbs Fest. Can't wait to gather again later this year. Keep on rocking, Trip Bacon. All right.
Thank you, Trip.
And Trip did come all the way from Oregon out here to D.C. for Suburbs Fest.
Wonderful to spend time with
this
him.
This past October. And I think we're far enough along now that we can say that that's going to take place again.
It sounds like it is.
I think we're going to do, instead of... last year was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think we're going to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think that'll be a little bit easier for people.
Yeah.
So it's right at the end of September, like September 29 and 30, and then October 1 would be the Saturday. So mark your calendars now for that with more details to come. All right. But let's see here, Patrick. We got we have a 33 and a third book.
Oh, fantastic.
I want to read this. This is really, it's really interesting. It's Koji Kondo's Super Mario Brothers soundtrack.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, very influential record.
Everybody probably knows that music, right? You could just start playing that in your head.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I'm kind of fascinated by these video game composers because they have to create something like that that goes along with the game you're playing but doesn't drive you too crazy to
that's
hear
right.
it
yeah.
all the time, right? And so that's a good one. And then...
that's a great one.
This is a book here by Aaron Carnes called In Defense of Ska.
Nice.
All right. You like
All
that?
All right. Yeah.
So that looks cool, too. And
I'm
interested
really cool.
in that as well. And then here's some CDs he
Ooh.
Mentioned. Here's a couple of tapes he mentioned.
Nice.
Of course,
awesome
they are called Awesome Mixtape 2021. And they are on Sony 90-minute cassette
Beautiful.
Tapes.
Beautiful.
And then there is a couple of cans here from Terminal Gravity Brewing.
Ooh, sweet.
Eagle Cap IPA.
Wow.
That one. And then more. There's other stuff that's really wrapped tight. So
Great.
Stuff here wrapped really tight. I'm not going to unwrap all that right now, but I'm guessing this is more.
Beautiful care package.
Oh, here we go. The other stuff in here looks like it's from Bull Run Distilling.
Ooh. Mm.
A barrel strength American whiskey.
Holy.
An Oregon single malt whiskey, a straight bourbon whiskey, and a Carlton straight rye whiskey. Woo, baby. Now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
We are cooking with gas.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Trip, man.
Thank
That's amazing.
Thank you, Trip.
So amazing.
Oh, this is super exciting. What a package.
Stunning.
Many wonders in that one. Okay. All right. Thanks, Trip. All right.
Thank you, Trip.
I mentioned a couple of calls here today on various mysterious topics. So the first one here came to us from Adam Coop in Louisville. And he talks about a musical mystery.
Hey, Suburbs Pod family. Coop here from Louisville, Kentucky. And I've got a question for you. Has anyone else ever forgotten the name of a band and then spent the next 20 years trying to track them down? This just happened to me. I wanted to call in and talk about it. So back in college, a friend of mine had gave me a CD single of a punk band that she was friends with. I immediately fell in love with the song. It lived in my truck and CD player for months. One day I finally did take it out, and it was the late 90s, so probably swapped it out for a rap rock band. And the CD fell into the floor of my vehicle, and a friend of mine was getting out of my truck and accidentally snapped the CD. And this was back before I was really into backing up CDs as MP3s and ripping them. So the song would pop in my head just about every other day. And I'm not, I don't know if I was starting to build up the song in my head and maybe giving it a little bit too much steam. And the only thing that I could really think about or remember about the song was that it was called Angel and the band was from Chicago. So I would go and I would Google search a couple times a year just to see what I could come up with. And I've not been able to find out anything over the last 20 years. But then in December of 2021, just last month, I started Googling again and I found a list of Chicago punk bands by decade. And I noticed a name I'd never really seen on there before and it said Split Habit. And that sounded familiar. I thought it was two word band name, and that was that I had never seen that on one of my lists before. So I started Googling Split Habit. I couldn't really tell if they already had a song called Angel, but the band was from Chicago. So now that I had a name to Google, I went to Facebook and I looked them up on Facebook. I sent them a message. So I asked them if you know, that this was the band that had a song called Angel in the late 90s, and I got a response back that it was. So I've uncovered my mystery. The name of the band is Split Habit. The song is called Angel. And then just a couple weeks later, a little after the first of the year, they actually emailed me the 4-song EP that Angel is on. I listened to it 10 times that first day and I've listened to it every day since. And it's been about a week and I've worn the song out, but it's got everything that I look for. It's got quiet verses and loud choruses and gang vocals. It's the song's so great. They are on Spotify. But there's only one full-length album. The EP that Angel is on is not on Spotify. But yeah, check them out. It's a really good, it's a really strong album what they have on Spotify. Plus, stick around to the very, very end for a Beastie Boys-style hidden track. So, yeah, if anyone on the planet would find this cool, it's the people in this community. So, thank you for letting me contribute to the show and talking about me being successful and unraveling one of the greatest musical mysteries of my life. Now, the only other one I have is trying to figure out what Motown song the vocals in the intro to Take Me Out by Franz Ferdinand remind me of. There's just something about that intro. It's his vocal delivery sounds like a Motown song to me. So anyway, it'd be great if you guys could figure it out for me because I've been trying for years. Have a great day.
Somehow my soul a gift from up above. Receive a smile held in her eyes. She's in for years of love. You are my angel, and that's what you should be. You are my angel, and that's what you should be. Her eyes and mine won't tarnish here in this cold world of mine. Stay close, hold on, I'm watching on. You're in for years of love. You are my angel.
All right, there you go. That is Angel by Split Habit, the mysterious song that Coop spent years tracking down, decades even, right?
Amazing. And all kudos to Coop for sticking with it, too, and you know, continuing to use the broad advance of social media to find that. That's great. And I could just feel the heartbreak in his voice when he was telling the part about his friend snapping the CD as he was stepping out. Oh, dude, you didn't do that, did you? Wow, that was a cool song, too. It almost seems like it needs to be on one of those, you know, Nuggets type things from the 90s, right? Yeah, the lost thing that's not on the streamings and, you know, remains out there between the cracks, literally. So
very cool. I know exactly what he's talking about. Like I've had in the pre CD era, especially when I would get cassettes of local bands, right? And then the cassette would get eaten or something, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
You're like, this is gone forever, because it was not like you can just go out to the store and buy another one of this.
Yeah. These
cassettes that they made, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah. So it is heartbreaking. It's like, what do I do now with the rest of my life? I don't know. Yeah.
And I wrote about this somewhere years and years ago, and I'll have to try to find it and share it with everybody. But one time I was, it was in the early 80s. I found a cassette tape on the ground when I was walking, and it was unlabeled. And I played that thing for the longest time. You know, I knew a couple of the tracks, but the rest of it, I was just like, here is this mystery thing that I have. And over the years, I figured out a few of them, but there's still some that I have no idea where they came from or who. I have no idea who made this tape. It was just like on the ground on the sidewalk. Somebody dropped it in my neighborhood.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
cool.
I wrote about
it. Very cool.
For an outlet somewhere. I'll have to try to find that piece.
I remember once, this isn't a mystery to be solved, but this goes to the breaking of the CD that he mentioned. I remember once there was this band out of Indianapolis that I really liked when I was in college called the Datura Seeds. I know I've mentioned them before.
Yeah, you have.
And I had a cassette of theirs that was just like, you know, independently released.
Yep.
Some small scale thing. And the tape deck in my car ate it. This was after I had graduated college and moved to Illinois. So the tape deck in my car ate it. And I just figured it was gone. Like, that's it. I'm never going to hear this band again. Cause I don't, you know, it's just, like I said, you just can't go to like Best Buy and get another copy. But with the miracle many years later of the streamings, it's there now. Like, it's on the streaming services, you know? So I've been able to reconnect with that album that I thought was gone forever. Right.
Yeah. That is totally great. I love that.
But that doesn't always happen. A lot of these bands, you know, small bands or whatever, they're gone, broken up or whatever, and nobody puts their music out again, you know?
Right, exactly. And they may not have a social media presence like that, but it's also really cool that the band sent Coop that EP.
How great is that?
Really nice. Yeah, that is world-class, first-class treatment, folks. That's really cool.
I think it's got to be great if you're you know, in a situation like that, probably the musicians are just like so excited that somebody reached out about
somebody remembers us.
Yeah. And they want that specific thing that.
Yeah. I love
that's
that.
That's really cool. I love it. The whole thing is great. Warms my heart. Okay.
Thank you, Coop.
Okay. So now we have another call. Let me set this up here. It's from Carl Anfinson in Illinois.
Right. I remember.
Chicago area. And he called in with a favorite of 2021. It was Split Single was the album he talked about.
I remember that. Yep.
But in his message, he actually had two album picks, and the message, you know, was a bit lengthy. So what we did was we edited the message down to just focus on the one that was his favorite.
Yeah.
And I promised him, I said, we're going to play this, the other part of the message at a later date.
Right.
That date is today.
Right.
Because there's, I it is interesting. And I want to talk a little bit about what he said about another band that he liked or another album he liked from last year. All right.
Great. Great.
The second album I have is by The Mysteries of Life. Their new album is called Blue Jay. Mysteries of Life is the husband and wife team of Jake and Frida Smith. You know Frida as Frida Love, the drummer from the Blake Babies. And I know Jake from seeing him, being introduced to him when I was in college at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. Yes, Jim Linehan, you and I may have crossed paths being both at IU and both working at the student-run radio station back in the late 80s. I really loved hearing your college years show a few weeks back. It brought back so many great memories. I think I was at most of those concerts that you guys mentioned. So when I was there back in the late 80s, I had my favorite local IU band, and that was Steve Kowalski's Army. They were a high-energy, mod-rock power trio, much like in the mold of the Jam. And Jake Smith joined as their bass player when I was there, and he was great. He fit in perfectly. In fact, I thought he looked and played a whole lot like Paul Weller, and they were really a fun band. But after I left IU, I know Jake did end up joining the Vulgar Boatmen for a bit, which I don't think that was mentioned in your Vulgar Boatmen theme show a few weeks back. But there you go. There's another connection. And after the Blake Babies broke up, Jake joined up with Frida and John Strom to form a band named Antenna. And they had a couple great records back in the early 90s. Definitely some perfect pop on there, some great 90s classic indie rock, some shoegaze guitar. But from there, Jake and Frida ended up getting married and went on to form Mysteries of Life. And in that band, they played Jake's stripped-down, very tuneful, straightforward pop songs. Most songs just played on guitar, drums, and cello. And they put out a few great albums back in the 90s. Well, they got busy. They got busy with their own family. They had kids. Jake went on to get his doctorate and eventually became a professor of media and sound at Northwestern University here in Evanston. So the Mysteries of Life recordings have become rare, pretty few and far between. But this year I was so happy to hear the new release called Blue Jay. The songs on the album highlight Jake's tuneful simplicity, very pure sounding. His lyrics focus on his usual themes that he's written about for years of family and friends, love, the weather, and the changing seasons. And this album is full of bird references. I am guessing that Jake is probably an avid birder. And I have one in my family, so I know it could be quite an obsessive hobby. So check out this album. I would recommend playing the track number 2 called Poor Will. It's a play on the bird known as the whippoorwill. It's a great song off a great album that probably might not really grab you at first. I think you have to let this one sink in on you. And once it does, after several listens, you just can't get the tunes out of your head.
Sleep in the daytime and out in the night. Up in the sky, nearly out of sight. The leaves are moving, it could be a dream. You
All right, there you go. That is Poor Will by The Mysteries of Life from last year's album Blue Jay, a favorite of Carl Anfinson. Yeah.
Yeah, charming.
Are you familiar with The Mysteries of Life at all?
I am not. No, this is the first I've been exposed to their existence.
So I knew them because, as he said, they have ties to Bloomington back in the day. So for people who don't know, maybe know, you know, the Blake Babies from Juliana Hatfield, right? They had ties to Indiana. So it was, you know, Juliana Hatfield from Boston, but the other members were from Indiana, and so including Frida. So, and I don't have the whole backstory on how that happened out, but anyway, so Blake Babies have ties to that area. And then, as you mentioned, after they broke up, then there was this band Antenna, which I remember, and then The Mysteries of Life. And so, but I will say, and that's cool, and I liked it, but I will say this, Carl, a good friend of mine was very briefly in Mysteries of Life.
Really?
I don't think he recorded it all, or maybe he did, and it didn't make the record, or something happened. Anyway, right. He was in the band very briefly and did not have a good experience. So I don't want to praise the band too much because in deference to my friend, I don't know. Right. But anyway, but there you go. The Mysteries of Life. And I'm glad that you like that record. And birding. Are you into birding at all? Patrick?
No, but my middle offspring, MJ, actually was very into it for a while and studied, took some courses down at VCU in Richmond and spent some time out on the James River capturing and studying birds for science and for classes. So that's as close as I've come. And MJ is very good at identifying the birds when you're out in the yard or on a walk or whatever. And I will say that MJ told a story one time that they were trying to get a different kind of bird and accidentally ended up with some cardinals in the little net they used to tag and release the birds. And those cardinals apparently are super mean when you catch them. Like, they will bite you fiercely if you're any near one. And I know, you know, here in Virginia, it's a state bird, and we think of them as these beautiful red, bright, and orange-beaked females against the snow there. They're so pretty to look at. But apparently, there are some mean little mugs if you get close to them. So beware the cardinals biting your fingers.
First off, the cardinal is the state bird of, like, half the states in the U.S.
Yeah,
first off, true. So there's that. And then, of course, the fighting cardinals of University of Louisville. We all know that the cardinals are the fiercest of all these small garden variety
birds. Yeah, I didn't really put two and two together there.
Yeah,
that's right. Great. I know Blue Jays also are tough, so watch out for those guys. They're big. Man. Yeah.
Well, and then this album is called Blue Jay by The Mysteries of Life, and MJ might enjoy this. Apparently, a lot of bird-related songs on here.
Passing that one on for sure. And great IU stuff there too about the radio station and all. So good point made there by Carl too. If you guys missed it during the cracks, go back and find the Jim show on his college and high school years in the 80s, and it's really entertaining and so well
done.
That
was fun.
Yeah,
that was fun. And I don't want to overstate things or mislead people either. Carl and I have had this conversation since. When I say worked at the college radio station, most of what I worked at when I was in college was the school newspaper. I spent a lot of time there. I was really dedicated to that. I dabbled in the radio station. I tried a couple of times to do DJ shifts, pick up, you know, do some shows and things. I even tried at one point to do like a talk show. And maybe lasted like 3 or 4 episodes before that died out. Right. So I just didn't really have the time. So I wanted to do more with the radio station, but I didn't do that much. Now, friends of mine, including the one friend I mentioned already in the show, who I won't mention my name, but he did a lot of DJing at the at the college radio station. So I did have a couple of close friends who really worked there. So I'm sure we may know some people in common or that kind of thing.
Oh,
but apparently Carl like really worked there a lot. Like he was big on the school radio station. And I will say this, Patrick, one quick thing, since we are in the process of, you know, really trying to get an online Rockin' the Suburbs radio station up and running. You can go to suburbsradio.com and you can listen to us doing DJ shifts now. I am going to stick with this one and others of the community doing DJ shows. But similar feeling to us doing this radio now. You kind of feel like only your friends are listening when you do a college radio. You know,
yeah, it's 12 watts carries across campus.
That's right.
Maybe to the entertainment district. That's about as far as it goes.
It's fun to do, but you definitely get this feeling of like if I didn't tell my friends to tune in at this certain time, there may not be anyone.
Nobody was out there. Yeah, is this thing on?
Yeah. So okay, all right, let's get out of here.
Great.
We've solved the mysteries. We can now, get on with our lives, right? So let's have that stuff hanging over our heads. So, all right, we have more fun stuff planned. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
Oh, you know what? We should mention, since this was a fan mail episode, the ways to contact the show.
Oh, yeah.
You can call, leave a message,
612-440-1984.
Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com. Or you can go on our Facebook or our Twitter or our Instagram, at suburbspod. You can, communicate with us that way. All right.
Yep.
Now, we're out of here. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you later.
Apparently, there are some mean little mugs if you get close to them. So beware.